Welcome back to Niaga Awani. Moving on to the international, some of the economic and also corporate news. More into economic news, the global economy is standing at the crossroad whereby many economies are struggling to spur growth. The Europe, USA, UK and Japan are facing economic headwinds with policy levers losing importance. Investors are losing confidence in governments with their economic strategy. With central banks hiking interest rates, there is a deep concern among investors that advanced economies are heading for a deep recession and would not make recovery for the next at least 2 to 3 years. Pivot of growth moves to the east with rising income level, higher infrastructure investment and also above all, macroeconomic stability driving growth in the region. And economic cost becomes highly important for sophisticated and smart investors to analyse. And joining us this morning, of course, Sean Tsai, Chief Economist of Joy AQI. Sean, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Sean, last week, issue of Economist magazine talk about, you know, what's next for the global economy. And the ructions in the markets are of a magnitude not seen for a generation. And globally, inflation is in double digits, of course, for the first time in nearly 40 years. And having been slow, you know, to respond, the Federal Reserve is now cranking up interest rates at the fastest pace since 1980s. And while the dollar is at, you know, its strongest for 2 decades, I would say. Of course, this is, you know, causing chaos outside America as well. If you have an investment portfolio in a pension, this year, you know, it has been somewhat gruesome to them. And global shares also have dropped by 25% in dollar terms and the worst year since at least the 1980s. And government bonds are also on course for their worst year since 1949. You know, what do you have to, you know, say about all these scenarios?
Yes, thank you, Najib. As you rightly pointed out, the global economy is standing at a crossroads whereby some economies will have growth, but many economies will be struggling, especially in advanced economies. 3/5 of the global economy is currently in stagflation, which is putting a lot of pressure on advanced economies, governments. We have seen what happened on 23rd September when you have an economic policy which is not based on facts. The markets are going to punish you. And pound sterling went down from 1.12. It went down to 1.05 in less than 3 days. So obviously, many policymakers are struggling to have a growth strategy, as you rightly pointed out. If you see the scenario in the equity markets, the way S&P 500 is moving, it is down by 25%, as you mentioned. If you look at history, in 1931, S&P 500 was down 34%. In 1937, S&P 500 was down 31%. In 1974, it was down 25%. In 2002, when you had dot-com bubble and recession, it was down 26%. And in 2008, when I was in Chicago, it went down by 31%. And the way the markets are moving, I think the Fed will continue to hike interest rate. 1st November, 2nd November, I think Fed is going to hike interest rate by 75 basis points. And in December meeting, they will hike 50 basis points. So the way the investors are panning out their investment portfolio, they know that Fed is staying hawkish. And Fed continues to focus on one agenda, that is to control inflation. And the way to control inflation is to induce recession. We have discussed this last month in our program. And Fed's job is to limit inflation, not send stock markets higher. So we expect the Joy IQA, the market will stay in a lot of turmoil and global economy will only recover in 2026, 2027, not before that.
Sean, central banks are raising rates, of course. We've seen the history and also the record. Inflation and recession and also growth shocks are hurting the sentiments across the world. Investors are concerned as where to park funds and which region is going to navigate, you know, through this uncertain market's profitability in the next 3 years. Sean, could you share with us you know, your view on this?
Absolutely, Najib. Inflation will stay very high for the next 2 to 3 years. Advanced economies, especially UK, Europe, Japan, US, will continue to struggle. The pivot has moved towards east. And when I talk about east, I mean ASEAN continues to stay in the global investor radar. I was in Cambodia 2 months ago. The market is booming in Cambodia. Look at Vietnam. Look at Indonesia. Look at Malaysia. Q2 GDP growth 8.9%. We expected July IQA that three regions will be booming. Number one, ASEAN. The GDP of ASEAN will touch $3.5 to $4 trillion by 2025. The next region we are quite bullish about, and we have our office there, is GCC, the Middle East. Middle East will generate $1.7 to $2 trillion by 2023 because of oil prices. Oil prices are again heading higher, and they will continue to stay higher for the next 12 to 15 months. So GCC, a lot of investment is going into GCC. A lot of investment opportunities are happening. Technology companies are moving to Saudi Arabia, UAE. Those are the two countries that are attracting a lot of investment. And the third region we are quite optimistic is Africa. Nobody's talking about Africa. Africa's GDP will be $4.5 trillion by 2025. The reason is most of the African countries are adopting technology. They are rich in resources. They are big in commodities. Commodities will stay dearer to many countries. In ASEAN, we expect the rising middle class, technology focus, rising infrastructure investment that is going to spur growth, especially in terms of GDP. And the most important variable that will drive GDP growth for many countries in ASEAN is the macroeconomic stability. That is the key and the hallmark for many regions in ASEAN.
Shan, I want to bring this. I want to bring some attention for this discussion to the latest commentary, from BlackRock on which sectors to favor during periods of high and persistent inflation. In your opinion, the sectors which did well in the past and why this time, could be different.
Yes, I have read the report that you are talking about from BlackRock. BlackRock has come out with something very important. It's quite significant for those investors who want to position themselves. They are talking about energy. Everybody requires energy. Your life and my life, it totally depends on oil and gas. So energy is one sector where BlackRock has mentioned. The second is utilities, electricity, gas. Everybody needs it. The third is material. Material, when I talk about material, everybody needs steel, iron, ore, copper, zinc, tin in the manufacturing use. So manufacturing stays hot. The third is technology. You cannot live without technology. I cannot live without technology. Every day our life focus or revolves around technology. The fifth is communication. If I take away your mobile, where you have your email, where you have your social media, where you have your bank account, you cannot operate. It's just like if I take away your mobile, if you go, you are going back to the stone age. I think communication is very important. Third is e-commerce. We have seen during COVID, most of the people are doing online shopping. And e-commerce market will touch $7.5 trillion globally by 2025. So that area is really booming. During COVID, we have witnessed that healthcare has become very, very important. Even post-COVID, we expect healthcare sector will have strong investors' interest. Financials. Banks will continue to grow because everybody needs banking services. Trade and commerce revolves around banking. And the last sector that BlackRock has talked about is real estate. Since real estate is becoming the new global currency, and as the population goes up, the demand for real estate will continue to have significant importance for those sophisticated and smart investors.
Shan, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That is Shan Syed, the Chief Economist of JUI IQI, for sharing with us on the economic outlook and also, of course, inflation globally. Thank you so much, Shan, for joining us this morning. Moving into the some of the international news, this is from the United Kingdom, of course. It has been the focus since yesterday. Rishi Sunak looked set to become Britain's next Prime Minister after Boris Johnson withdrew from the contest on Sunday, saying that although he had enough support to make the final ballot, he realised that the country and the Conservative Party needed unity. Johnson had raced home from a holiday in Caribbean to try and secure the backing of 100 lawmakers to enter Monday's contest to replace Liz Truss, the woman who succeeded him in September after he was forced to quit over a string of scandals. And of course, he said he had secured the backing of 102 lawmakers and could have been back in Downing Street, but that he had failed to persuade either Sunak or the other contender, Penny Mordaunt, to come together in the national interest. The former Prime Minister had secured the public backing of just under 60 Conservative lawmakers by Sunday, well under half of the nearly 150 endorsements Sunak had received. Sterling rose more than half a cent against the dollar in early trading in Asia, and Johnson's statement likely paves the way for his arch rival, the 42-year-old former Finance Minister Sunak, to become Prime Minister, possibly as soon as Monday. If confirmed, he would replace Truss, who was forced to resign after she launched an economic program that triggered turmoil on financial markets. According to the rules, if only one candidate secures the backing of 100 Conservative lawmakers, they will be named Prime Minister on Monday. US consumers have demonstrated a willingness to continue to pay higher prices in the face of a sluggish economy that could be tipped into a recession. American Express, in a statement, reported stronger than expected third quarter earnings and revenue while raising its full year forecast. The company said overall customer spending jumped 21% year on year, driven by growth in goods and services as well as travel and entertainment. The demand for travel is particularly resilient as Americans make up for postponed trips due to the pandemic. Consumers are also splurging on food and entertainment after pandemic lockdowns eased. American Express said its travel and entertainment segment saw spending climbed 57% from a year ago, with volumes in its international markets surpassing pre-pandemic levels for the first time in the third quarter. Meanwhile, Bank of America isn't experiencing any slower growth in spending either, despite inflation having reached historic highs. CEO Brian Moynihan said last week that the bank's customers continue to spend freely using their credit cards and other payment methods for 10% more transaction volume in September and the first half of October than a year earlier. Recent economic data, though, have shown signs of stagnation in consumer spending. Next up, Japan intervened in the foreign exchange market on Friday to buy yen for the second time in a month after the currency hit a 32-year low near 152 to the dollar. A government official and another person familiar with the matter told Reuters. Japan has been attempting to shore up the battered currency as the central bank sticks with ultra-low interest rates, countering a global trend of tightening monetary policy and widening the gap between US and Japanese interest rates. After the dollar rose to 151.94 yen, its highest since 1990, the intervention drove the Japanese currency down more than 7 yen to a low of 144.50 yen. The US currency was last down 1.8% at 147.34 yen. The Ministry of Finance, MOF, intervened in several stages from around 9:35 p.m., one source said to Reuters. Japan's top currency diplomat Masato Kanda declined to say whether the MOF had intervened. China has created the twin miracles of fast economic growth and also long-term social stability over the past 40 years and will double down on this endeavor to create an even more prosperous country that is sure to bring many more opportunities for the world. Xi Jinping made the remarks while leading the party's new central leadership to meet the press at the Great Hall of People in Beijing. He said the Chinese economy has great resilience, potential and latitude. Its strong fundamentals will not change and it will remain on a positive trajectory over the long run. He stressed that China will open its doors even wider. Xi also said that China will be steadfast in deepening reform and opening up across the board and in pursuing high-quality development. A prosperous China will create many more opportunities for the world, he said, and the 20th CPC Central Committee held its first plenary session on Sunday morning and elected the new central leadership. Xi was re-elected as General Secretary of the CPC Central Committee.
中国发展也需要中国。经过改革开放40多年，不懈努力，我们创造了经济快速发展和社会长期稳定两大奇迹。现在，中国经济 韧性强，潜力足，回旋余地广，长期向好的基本面不会改变。中国开放的大门只会越来越大，我们将坚定不移全面深化改革开放，坚定不移推动高质量发展， 以自身发展为世界，创造更多机遇。新征程是充满光荣和梦想的远征。蓝图已经绘就，号角已经吹响。我们要踔厉奋发，勇毅前行，努力创造更加灿烂的明天。
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Do join our voting session that is currently happening for our coverage for PRU at undi.astroawani.com and also the code that you can scan later on. And that's all for Niaga Awani for today. As appeared on your television right now, you can scan the barcode right now, the QR code, and you can answer the question: are you keen to read political manifestos that will be presented by all the parties that is going to compete during this PRU15? Thank you so much for joining us this morning. That's all for Niaga Awani for today. I'm Najee Arif. Assalamualaikum, salam hormat.